You're listening to Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is up? Eddie Pascal live from Radio Row here in Mobile, Alabama. Not mobile, as head coach John Gruden told me a little bit ago. It is Mobile, Alabama. And yeah, we just wrapped up the third of three practices for the North Side at the 2019 Reese's Senior Bowl. And man, it's been a busy couple days. Truth be told, it's been busier than we anticipated. I'll say that. There's been a lot going on. Things have been rocking and rolling. News to break. Things of that nature. We've been super busy. Our guy Kyle Martin will join us in a little bit. I told you we've been busy, so he's running around right now, but he will come by. He will return to Radio Row for his usual spot on Victory Formation, so he'll be here. Do not worry. But before we get to Kyle, just some kind of top-end thoughts for me now after having seen the 3 days of practice here in Alabama. One, I think when I look at it, I'll ask Kyle this the same thing in a little bit, but when I look at it, the play of the DBs has really stood out to me. I think it's a good crop of DBs on the north side for Coach Gruden's squad, and they've really done, I think they've done a pretty bang-up job. I think they've gotten better as the week has gone on, more confident in what they're being asked to do, and obviously the kitchen table isn't really being thrown at them. You can't do that in a week's time, but yeah, I think you look at a guy like Nasir Adderley, you know, he's been really impressive. Corey Ballantyne, I think that's how you pronounce his last name. My apologies to Mr. Ballantyne if it's not. A kid from Washington, he's played well. I mean, it's been really exciting to see them kind of progress over the past couple of days. And then obviously getting a chance to talk to everyone here in Alabama about these guys and this game. And it's been, as we've said earlier this week, it's our first time collectively, all of us here in Mobile. And it's been really cool to kind of go about, see the city, and see how fired up everyone gets for this game. I mean, it is a big deal down here. There's a large sense of civic pride associated with this game being here in Southern Alabama, and it's been really cool. But we are nearing the end of our time here, unfortunately. But before we get out of here, this is a good pod. I say that all the time, but this one's actually good. And following the final day of practice today, I had a chance to sit down and talk with head coach John Gruden, and I asked him, I said, Coach, three practices in the book, the game is on Saturday. What have been your top-end takeaways from the guys on your side of the roster there?
You know, I think they got better and better every day. I think these guys like football and like each other. It's been a fun week to be around them. They've studied, they've competed, and they've improved, and that's about all you can ask for.
So obviously you and your staff had the chance to coach this game. You wanted to coach this game. Why is that so important to you?
Well, it gets you as close to these players as possible, and it really helps us make decisions on who moves up on the board, who moves down on the board. And coming here for a week, you get to see the intangibles that make these guys tick. Do they learn? Do they want to learn? Are they in shape? Are they healthy? And those are things you can't get unless you coach a game.
You talk about those intangibles. How valuable is it for you and the staff as a whole to really get a chance to learn about these guys as individuals, see them in the classroom, and like you said, learn about who, you know, what really makes them tick?
Yeah, it is. You know, you go to a school, you go to an elementary school or a high school or a college, and you sit in a classroom. Some of the students, they're not paying attention. Some of the students are late. You get a chance to see that. You know, we like guys that sit up, that listen, that ask questions, that are into it, that are accountable, that are really interested in being great. And you can sense that in a two-hour meeting for sure.
You know, in terms of the game itself, how much do you really take away from what you see on Saturday?
They take a lot away. You know, it's a physical game. They've prepared themselves to be ready to go, mentally and physically. Jobs are at stake. And I've seen guys come in here as obscure people from small colleges and walk out of here millionaires because of the way they perform in this game.
So, Coach, we won't make you reveal too many secrets, but do you see any players out here that kind of fit the mold for what you want in a Raider going forward?
Yeah, we do. We see several. And the cool thing about this is tomorrow night we'll change teams. The 49ers will get our team, we'll get their team, and we'll get to interrogate them for 90 minutes. So it'll be fun, but it's been very informative. And if you've never been to a Senior Bowl and you're a football fan, yeah, I recommend you come down here to Mobile.
All right, Coach, we appreciate your time. We'll catch up with you when we're back at 1220 in California.
Good to see you guys. Have a good one.
And a big thank you to Coach Gruden. He's been a busy man this week, but he's good enough to take a couple minutes for us. So, Let's just keep the good times going, baby. We go from Coach Gruden to the new general manager of the Oakland Raiders, Mike Mayock, a guy we are very excited to catch up with, obviously, for obvious reasons. I mean, you look at the Senior Bowl and what this has turned into, and it's got to be a scout's dream a little bit to come down here and evaluate talent, and that's exactly what Mike has done over the past several days. So without further ado, our conversation with the general manager of the Oakland Raiders, Mike Mayock. Mike, thank you for taking a couple minutes with us. And I'm curious, what has the past month and change been like for you since you started this new role?
It's been a little hectic, I'm not going to lie. It's been overwhelming in some aspects, but mostly I think what I'm most energized about is the way our coaching staff and our scouting staff have energized into one open building. We're open, we're transparent, we're sharing information. I think John and I get along. John and I see the game the same way. I've been friends with the coaching staff, like Paul Gunther, Rich Bisaccia, Jimmy O'Neill, most of the guys on the staff for years and years. So it's really easy for me to kind of come in, grab a cup of coffee, and talk ball at all hours of the day. And because of that, the flow of information from the scouts to the staff and back again has just been absolutely outstanding.
You talked about that transparency earlier and the importance of having that transparency, that conversation between the coaching staff and the scouts. How vital is it to have that going forward?
The biggest common denominator in dysfunctional franchises, number one, is that the coaching staff and the scouts are not tied at the hip philosophically. And it has to start at the top. The head coach and the GM have to be tied together. And I think part of the key to the whole thing with John and I going back as long as we do and seeing the game the way we do is that we can just get in the room and close the door, which we've done, throw on the tape and argue about players. And we do. And to me, that's the most fun of the job. John loves it. I love it. There are going to be differences of opinion, which there are. And we laugh and yell and figure it out and move on.
What's been the biggest difference for you personally in terms of your approach to the Senior Bowl now that you're the general manager of a team?
I think the cool thing is, for the most part, when you're doing a television thing, you're kind of a lone wolf, you know? And of course, I had Daniel Jeremiah and Charles Davis, and I love those guys. But now I've got a staff of dedicated scouts, and I've got these coaches that I'm leaning on. And what was cool this week for me to be on the inside of the Senior Bowl, we're coaching the North team. I've been in on all the meetings with Coach Gruden. I've been going to as many position meetings as I can get to. I'm watching Tom Cable coach. I'm watching Jimmy O'Neill, Derek Ansley. I come out with a profound respect for our coaching staff. They did a great job this week. We've had the scouts in on the position group meetings. So ourselves and the 49ers are the only teams in the league with this advantage, and we're trying to take the most advantage of it as we can. It's an awesome thing, and we're even going to switch with the players from the South squad are going to meet with us tomorrow and vice versa. So we're going to spend an hour and a half with the South team trying to pick those kids' brains and get to know them. So it's a huge, huge advantage to be coaching this game, and it's incumbent upon us to take advantage of it.
How much can a player really help his stock by what he does on the field this week?
No. If you're a small school kid, okay, there's always a knock on small school kids like, hey, quality of competition. Senior Bowl levels that. Look at Carson Wentz a couple years ago. North Dakota State comes in, a lot of questions. This kid took over the locker room. He took over the huddle. People fell in love with him at night in the meeting room. Plus, he was a talented kid. All of a sudden, no quality of competition issues. He dominated at the Senior Bowl. So the small school kids, it's awesome. The big school kids, I think what you have to look at it as a cross-check. Like if a kid flashes that you didn't really have a high grade on, he looked great in one-on-one drills, you got to go back and watch him 11-on-11 in college. And is he a flash player that put together one big week? Or maybe we found something that the kid, we didn't know the kid had. So there are all these, we had a meeting last night, man, and we had a three-hour meeting, and there were all these questions popping up about individual kids, and it was awesome.
You know, the final practice of the week wrapped up earlier today. Have you been energized by what you've seen on the field the past 3 days?
It's almost impossible to stand on a field anywhere near John Gruden and not be energized. The dude gets so excited. He's in there barking at his quarterbacks. He's gathering everybody in. I mean, at the end of one of the practices, he got the whole team in, and he said, we're going to have a little one-on-one. And you know, the group, we're going to have a little one-on-one. And he said, and he barked out two colleges. Get out. And it was a tackle and a defense. Get out here. And in front of the whole team, it was like Bull in the Ring. There's 100 guys watching two players going friggin' nuts. And he did it three times. It was offense one, defense one, and the third one was it was the tackle from USC against the defensive end from TCU. The tackle ran him by the quarterback. that the offense went nuts, the O-line. I mean, that's Gruden. Yeah, that's John. It's energizing. It's fun. And for me, that's one of the main appeals to doing what I'm doing. I'm involved. I've got a little skin in the game, and it's different than being in television.
It's a pretty good Gruden impression you got, too.
I don't have any impressions. I wish I could put some product in my hair like you do. I mean, jeez, that's more product than I've ever seen.
I know. I try. And we're working on our sponsorship, but hopefully one day.
Okay.
But in terms of the game itself on Saturday, how much thought do you put into actually what goes on the field for that 60 minutes?
The game's important. But this is the one week of the year where practices and meetings are more important. So the game is important for the kids to try to go win and lose, but the practices are all about getting together, learning information, processing it, putting it out there on your resume in front of millions of people on television, and more importantly, all 32 teams. So the game's important, but it's really all about the practices.
You know, I asked Coach Gruden this earlier today, and without tipping your hand or anything, but I asked him, I said, Coach, do you see any players out here who really fit the mold of what you're looking for in a quote-unquote Raider? And he said, yeah, I do. Is that kind of your evaluation of that as well?
Yeah, John and I talk all the time, and we have this thing called a Raider star. Every team has something where it highlights certain kids in every draft that you'd like to have because they fit who you think you are. And for the Raiders, it's all about guys that pop off tape, guys that love ball, great work ethic. Just have a passion for the game and hungry to be better. That's what we're looking for. And I've seen several guys this week where I kind of go, wow, that's a Raider star guy.
You know, in terms of the next few weeks, once we get out of Mobile, what does that kind of look like for you and your staff?
It's pretty exciting. I mean, I'm going to get back in there on Sunday, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm going through a lot of free agency stuff with the pro side of the house. Thursday, we start our draft meetings, and that goes on for 15 days. And when I say 15 days, I'm talking about 7 a.m. to about 8 p.m. With a bunch of scouts in the room. We're going to have our coaches coming in at different times, giving presentations on what they're looking for position by position. It's an open exchange of information where we encourage arguing. And you know, now's the time to argue about this. Stand on the table. You believe in a kid, get on the table and stand on it. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be long, arduous, fun days, and that kind of leads us into the combine.
I don't know if you've had this moment yet or had a chance to have this moment and sit back, but have you kind of been like, had that, okay, I'm here, I'm now the general manager of the Oakland Raiders moment, or have you just been going 100 miles an hour since you touched down here?
I think everybody wants me to have that moment,
yeah.
And I haven't had
I
it
do,
yet.
I want you to have that moment.
No, I mean, I got buddies texting me, and I got guys around the league, and it's kind of like, it's just, the press conference was one day, and it was go to work, and I love it. It's just been about going to work, and I haven't had a day off or any time to really even think about that, so... I would imagine that what I'm hoping is that we get done the draft and we feel really good about free agency in the draft, and I'm hoping to just kind of exhale and go, wow, that was fun.
Yeah. Well, Mike, we appreciate your time. I know you're busy, got a lot of stuff to do still here in Mobile, and so we'll catch up when you get back to California.
Appreciate it, Eddie. Thank you.
So, yeah, there you have it, our conversation with Mike Mayock, and I'm excited. I know we say this a lot, but I'm excited to kind of see more from Mike over the coming months, get a chance to know him a little bit better, figure out what makes him tick a little bit, but he was good enough to give us a couple minutes. And now we can actually get into everyone's favorite segment. And producer Trav, does this segment have a sponsor yet?
No.
It does not. Our friendly reminder that our favorite segment, the Victory Formation, is still sponsorless, but we might not have a sponsor, but we do have our junior draft analyst, our senior esports correspondent, a man of many hats, a man you've heard a lot from the past couple days, but as I said, he's been running around, but he's been good enough to join us again. Good enough to take a few minutes out of his busy, busy content schedule, the great Kyle Martin Media.
Eddie, how's it going? Happy to be here. I'm still catching my breath because I've just been up, down, all over, across the board, in, out. Happy to sit down, though. Happy
yeah.
to get on the pod.
Oh, yeah. A lot of evaluation for you over the past 72 hours. Tons.
It's been exciting. You know this is what I live for. I live for the draft evaluation and scouting.
Yeah.
That's the goal. I would love to see some, you know, young talent groomed, developed, and then flourish at the next stage.
In silver and black, I hope.
In silver and black, of course. I mean, the goal is for us to be back on top above everyone else. So hopefully there's a couple guys here that can get us to that point.
Now, obviously, we won't fully know kind of what the first round, well, really what the whole draft is going to look like, but the first round in particular for the Oakland Raiders for a couple months. And, you know, over the coming weeks, we're really going to be able to dive into you know, just the capital of having what that means, having three first round draft picks and all that stuff. And so we're not going to prognosticate too much on, oh, what picks are going to go where, yada, yada. But guys over the past couple of days that have really impressed you.
Honestly, I'm excited for after the Senior Bowl ends and as the combine gets closer, I'm excited to see how, you know, the Daniel Jeremiahs, the Bucky Brooks of the world, how their mock drafts shift, because we've seen a ton of guys who are projected as late first rounders like Montez Sweat, but because he came to the Senior Bowl and he's had positive impressions on all these coaching staffs, he's risen through the ranks and now he's considered top 15, top 10 pick as a defensive end. So I think it's going to be interesting to see guys who might not be first rounders with later draft grades. Do we need to read? Okay. With later draft grades who could not possibly make the first round. But, I mean, obviously we have a second-round pick. There's plenty of options for us going forward, and I think that it's going to be exciting to see where guys like, I've told you all week, I've been really high on him. LJ Collier, the defensive lineman out of TCU. I actually overheard Todd McShay doing an ESPN hit earlier today, and I heard him say that he's caught his eye as well.
Well, talent evaluators, no talent.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I was so close to just stepping right up in there in the ESPN shot. I was like, yeah, no, I have done a lot of extensive research on this gentleman. But yeah, Collier, you talked about Adderley earlier
on the pod.
Yeah,
Adderley's had a good couple of days for sure.
And the punter.
Yeah, we talked about the punter a lot.
Yeah, Mitch Wisnowski, Wischkowski?
Which can
Wisnowski.
It's a mouthful.
Twister.
It's a mouthful for sure. But yeah, I mean, he's shown a lot the past couple of days. I mean, he's built. He's a big dude. Got a big leg. Can do a little bit of everything really in terms of the punts that he, you know, the balls that he kicks. Obviously holds. But yeah, I mean, he's been a guy that, I mean, you and I have just been standing on the sidelines there and looked at him and be like, wow, this guy quite the leg on him.
Definitely, I think. Truthfully, the only thing I've been maybe disappointed in is the amount of offense.
Yeah, I mean, I think that kind of goes kind of par for the course, though. I mean, all these guys getting together for the first time. I will say, though, from the first practice on Tuesday to what we've seen today, I feel like the offense has kind of taken some strides. But, I mean, you're right. Not a lot of rhythm out there, not a lot of... It hasn't been very sexy.
No,
we'll say that.
It's hard to compare. You know, I don't know. Like, you're playing with guys that you've never
met before.
Yeah, and I think it's easier. I can't compare that because I feel like on defense, too, the communication has to be at a high level in order for you to succeed. But still, executing an offense where people are running routes and you've never thrown the ball to them before, getting that chemistry is different. Either way, though, I just don't think I've seen as many highlight real plays as I expected to see.
Yeah, and I think Coach brought up a good point because he was asked about the offense, and he brought up a good point in saying that, you know, look, a lot of these guys are being, especially along the offensive line, are being asked to do different things, right? Because, you know, if they're right tackle in college, hey, now they're playing right guard, or, oh, you were a left guard in college, now you're playing right guard. So there's not a lot of fluidity out there, right? And I think that's kind of the point in some aspects, to kind of see how these guys respond to being thrown into these different situations. But, yeah, man, I think that you bring up a great point where the defense – I'm going to agree with you. It really has been a defense-heavy couple days, but that's not a bad thing by any means.
One thing of note, too, is that head coach John Gruden and the rest of the Raiders coaching staff are going to get to switch roles.
A great point. A great point.
The North and South roster. So while they've been coaching the North guys this week – and we've only seen them on the practice field, we'll get a chance to know how Coach Gruden is able to communicate with the South roster, guys that stand out to him, General Manager Mike Mayock. I'm sure he's got a couple guys circled that he wants to talk to. So it's going to be good to get that extra information rather than just the roster that we've had so far.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I think that is a good point and an important point where obviously you got, you know, the 50-some-odd guys on the North roster, but – you know, that's only half the guys here. And so I think that one thing I've been really kind of pleasantly surprised, I don't even know if I want to say pleasantly surprised, but I just didn't know kind of how much logistical stuff goes into getting this game together. Obviously, you know, making sure that the coaching staffs get access to both teams and, you know, the way that the rosters are built out. Like, it's really interesting. And I think that it's been pretty cool to see that kind of transpire down here in Alabama.
One thing that I didn't expect was the amount of college head coaches that have
come.
Yeah,
that was pretty dope, too.
I mean, Mario Cristobal from Oregon. We saw Dabo Sweeney.
Shout out the great Mario Cristobal.
National championship, Chip Winner, Dabo Swinney,
the great boys. Dabo Swinney as well.
Yeah, yes. There have been a ton of college head coaches that have come to either vouch for their guys or just participate with, you know, the festivities.
Yeah, my sources also tell me that Nick Saban was here yesterday.
Is that so?
Yeah, I won't reveal my sources, but I will say they are they're sitting at this table with us, no. And it's not producer Trav.
Roll Tide, brother.
Roll Tide, brother. You got any good Roll Tides in this week?
Yeah, literally as soon as we checked into the hotel on Monday, I went down to go ask about food advice, you know, for dinner.
Sure.
Since we had a long journey to get here.
Yeah.
And on just while standing there, I'm not even talking to the security guard, and he goes, yeah, brother, I've got this debit card, and it's great and all, but Alabama, his debit card had an Alabama championship team on it.
Oh, I see.
And so he's like, it's great to have this, but every year I have to change it. Because they won the championship so much that it's just a constant hassle more than anything. And then I was like, oh, well, that's fascinating. And on my way out from getting the information, he goes, Roll Tide, brother.
God bless him. God bless this beautiful, confusing place.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been a long day. And I said it kind of half-joking earlier, but we've been pretty busy. It's been a lot going on. We still got more stuff to do today. So on that note, we're out of here.
Deuces.
We're done. We will see you guys in... Well, actually, this is pretty crazy. So we won't even see you in California because Marcus, Travis, and I are going home for the weekend, and then we're flying back to Atlanta on Monday. We're going to be in Atlanta for the Super Bowl. So last year, we had a bunch of Raiders fans come say what's up to us when we were sitting in the Mall of America. So if you are, to all the Raiders fans out there who are listening, if you see us in Atlanta next week, holler at us, say what's up. We'll have this big, beautiful, obnoxious backdrop with us at all times. It'll be very hard to miss. But yeah, come say what's up. We will also be, so obviously we're there for work, but it'd be a lot of fun too. Tom Flores will find out on Saturday if he goes into the Hall of Fame. And obviously we're a little bit biased here, but Tom Flores needs to go into the Hall of Fame. Do the right thing, NFL. Trav gives me a hard time, producer Trav, because I do get a little salty with our good friends over at the league. And can you imagine my salt levels, producer Trav, if Coach does not get into the Hall on Saturday?
Oh yeah, they'll be hearing about it for sure.
I'll be furious. I'll be outraged. I will take it as a personal slight against me, everyone in this room, and this organization, if Tom Flores does not get into the Hall of Fame. But I think he's going to get in. I don't know, but I just got a good feeling about it. But anyways, that's what we'll be up to in the next couple days. Raider Nation, thank you for hanging out with us in Mobile, Alabama, over the past couple days. It's been a lot of fun. We've seen a lot of good football, a lot of good prospects. So for Eddie Pascal, Kyle Martin, producer Trav, general manager Mike Mayock, head coach John Gruden, and really everyone here who has been so nice to us, who has opened their, you know, greeted us with open arms, has showed us the full complement of Southern hospitality. We have had a blast. So until next week, when we're coming at you live from Atlanta, Georgia, baby, this was Upon Further Review, and we will catch you guys soon.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network.